Tea time.
Tea time.
Tea time.
Tea time. Tea time lecture.
How Sir Lancelot saw a vision and repented his sins. Sir Lancelot, in pursuit of Sir Galahad, halted when he came to a stone cross, which had by it a block of marble. Nearby stood an old chapel. He tied his horse to a tree and hung his shield on a branch and looked into the chapel, for the door was waste and broken. He saw there a fair altar covered with a silken cloth and a candlestick which had six branches, all of shining silver. A great light streamed from it, and at this sight Sir Lancelot would fain have entered in, but he could not. So he turned back, sorrowful and dismayed, and took the saddle and bridle off his horse and let him pasture where he would, while he himself unlaced his helm and ungirded his sword and lay down to sleep upon his shield at the foot of the cross. As he lay there, half waking and half sleeping, he saw two white palfreys come by, drawing a litter, wherein lay a sick knight. When they reached the cross, they paused, and Sir Lancelot heard the knight say, "O sweet Lord, when shall this sorrow leave me, and when shall the holy vessel come by me, through which I shall be blessed? For I have endured long, though my ill deeds were few." Thus he spoke, and Sir Lancelot heard it, and of a sudden the great candlestick stood before the cross, though no man had brought it. With it was a table of silver, and the holy vessel of the Grail, which Lancelot had seen before. Then the knight rose up, on his hands and knees he approached the holy vessel, and prayed, and was made whole of his sickness. After that the Grail went back into the chapel, and the light and the candlestick also, and Sir Lancelot would have followed, but could not, so heavy was the weight of his sins upon him. The sick knight arose, and kissed the cross, and saw Sir Lancelot lying at the foot with his eyes shut. "I marvel greatly at this sleeping knight," he said to his squire, "that he had no power to wake when the holy vessel was brought hither." "I dare say," answered the squire, "that he dwells in some deadly sin, whereof he was never confessed." "By my faith," said the knight, "he is unhappy, whoever he is, for he is of the fellowship of the Round Table, which have undertaken the quest of the Grail." "Sir," replied the squire, "you have all your arms here, save only your sword and your helm. Take, therefore, those of this strange knight, who has just put them off." And the knight did as his squire said, and took Sir Lancelot's horse also, for it was better than his own. After they had gone, Sir Lancelot woke up, and thought of what he had seen, wondering if he were in a dream or not. Suddenly a voice spoke to him, and it said, "Sir Lancelot, more hard than is the stone, more bitter than is the wood, more naked and barren than is the leaf of the fig tree, art thou. Therefore go from hence, and withdraw thee from this holy place." When Sir Lancelot heard this, his heart was passing heavy, and he wept, cursing the day when he had been born. But his helm and sword had gone from the spot where he had laid them at the foot of the cross, and his horse was gone also. He cried, "My sin and my wickedness have done me this dishonour, for when I sought worldly adventures, I ever achieved them, and had the better in every place, and never was I discomfited in any quarrel, were it right or wrong. But now I take upon me the adventures of holy things, I see and understand that my old sin hinders me, so that I could not move or speak when the Holy Grail passed by." Thus he sorrowed, till it was day, and he heard the birds sing, and at that he felt comforted. as his horse was also gone, he departed on foot with a heavy heart. The Adventure of Sir Percival. All this while Sir Percival had pursued adventures of his own, and came nigh unto losing his life, but he was saved from his enemies by the good knight, Sir Galahad, whom he did not know, although he was seeking him. For Sir Galahad now bore a red shield, and not a white one. At last the foes fled deep into the forest, and Sir Galahad followed, but Sir Percival had no horse, and was forced to stay behind. Then his eyes were opened, and he knew it was Sir Galahad who had come to his help, and he sat down under a tree, and sorely grieved. While he was sitting there, a knight passed, riding a black horse. When he was out of sight, a yeoman came after as fast as he could, and seeing Sir Percival, asked if he had seen a knight mounted on a black horse. "Yes, sir," answered Sir Percival. "Why do you want to know?" "Ah, sir, that is my steed which he has taken from me, and wherever my lord shall find me, he is sure to slay me." "Well," said Percival, "thou seest that I am on foot, but had I a good horse, I would soon catch up with him." "Take my hackney," said the yeoman, "and do the best you can, and I shall follow you on foot to watch how you speed." So Sir Percival rode as fast as he might, and at last he saw that knight, and he hailed him. The knight turned, and set his spear against Sir Percival, and smote the hackney in the breast, so that he fell dead to the earth, and Sir Percival fell with him. Then the knight rode away. But Sir Percival was mad with wrath, and cried to the knight to return and fight with him on foot. But the knight answered not, and went on his way. When he saw that the knight would not turn, he threw himself on the ground, and cast away his helm and sword, and bemoaned himself for the most unhappy of all knights. And there he stayed the whole day, and being faint and weary, slept till it was midnight. At midnight he woke and saw before him a woman, who said to him fiercely, "Sir Percival, what doest thou here?" "Neither good nor great ill," answered he. "If thou wilt promise to do my will when I call upon thee," said she, "I will lend thee my own horse, and he shall bear thee whither thou shalt choose." This Sir Percival promised gladly, and the woman went and returned with a black horse, so large and well apparelled that Sir Percival marvelled. But he mounted him gladly, and drove in his spurs, and within an hour and less the horse bore him 4 days' journey hence, and would have borne him into rough water, had not Sir Percival pulled at his bridle. The knight stood doubting, for the water made a great noise, and he feared lest his horse could not get through it. Still, wishing greatly to pass over, he made himself ready, and signed the sign of the cross upon his forehead. At that, the fiend which had taken the shape of a horse shook off Sir Percival and dashed into the water, crying and making great sorrow, and it seemed to him that the water burned. Then Sir Percival knew that it was not a horse, but a fiend, which would have brought him to perdition, and he gave thanks and prayed all that night long. As soon as it was day, he looked about him, and saw he was in a wild mountain, girt round with the sea, and filled with wild beasts. Then he rose and went into a valley, and there he saw a young serpent bring a young lion by the neck. After that there passed a great lion, crying and roaring after the serpent, and a fierce battle began between them. Sir Percival thought to help the lion, as he was the more natural beast of the twain, and he drew his sword and set his shield before him, and gave the serpent a deadly buffet. When the lion saw that, he made him all the cheer that a beast might make a man, and fawned about him like a spaniel, and stroked him with his paws. About noon, the lion took his little whelp, placed him on his back, and bore him home again, and Sir Percival, being left alone, prayed till he was comforted. But at eventide the lion returned, and couched down at his feet, and all night long he and the lion slept together.